I'm comedian, writer, and filmmaker Chuck Staton from the punk band Senior Discount.
And I'm writer and comedian Brad Rohr from the Providence Improv Guild.
And this is the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 529 of the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
I'm Chuck.
I'm Brad.
How you doing, Brad?
Just full of caffeine. How are you?
Are you full of caffeine?
No, I've only had half my coffee.
All right, I was going to say. All right, so listen, here's the deal. The week before last, we were on a really tight schedule, and we had one night to record, and that night I ended up in the emergency room.
Because you crossed me. Yeah. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah. All right. And actually, I got a question for you before you get into this.
Oh, good.
Well, let me finish this, I
all
guess.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Sorry. And so anyway, we're trying to do an extra episode this week to make up for it.
Yeah, keep our average at one per week.
Yeah, we try to do one per week, so we wanted to make sure that you guys got three over the course of the past 3 weeks.
I said, Chuck, it's January 1st. Let's record 52 episodes back to back, and we're done for the whole year.
You know, it's funny, and I'm not sure if it's a running joke or what, but like, there's a new podcast called Hey Babe, and it's the comedians Chris DiStefano and Sal Vulcano.
Yes.
And I think they just recorded a million episodes in like February.
Wow.
Because they always talk about the Super Bowl in every episode.
That's funny.
But I don't know if it's a running joke to make it seem like that.
Right.
Who knows what it is. Anyway, so we're doing an extra one this week. Hopefully this is going to come out on Monday the 20th.
That sounds right.
21st, whatever.
19th.
And coincidentally, as we're looking to do this extra episode, we found out from a write-in through Matthew Bonta, a write-in to chuckandbrad@gmail.com, our email, that we've missed a few emails because they went to our spam folder.
Right.
And now we've retrieved all those emails. We have a lot of listener emails to go through. So we said, let's do a bonus episode this week to get our average back to normal, get an extra episode out there, and let's do all these listener emails
right
at once. So that's what we're going to do today.
And this makes up for, you know, some of the bad stuff that Matthew Bonta has done in his personal life.
Well, I mean, not the real bad thing.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he is paying out the family
yeah.
week after week.
Right.
We really don't know anything yeah. about him. We're just making this up. Here is my question, though.
Yes.
I went to a place I love to eat.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm with you.
Tasty.
Mm.
I'm not going to tell you the name.
Thank you.
Because I might be kind of half talking shit, half praising. Went there. I love their lemon chicken.
It's a hut full of pizzas, but I won't say the name.
Right. You probably know which place it is.
I do.
I went there. It's one chicken breast that I get.
Yep.
It's a lemon chicken breast. It's delicious.
It is.
I went there. They didn't make it for like a year.
Yep.
They finally made it again.
Yep.
I went there. It's delicious. Quality is the same as always, which is great. Went to go pay for it. $7 and change.
Woo! For a chicken breast.
For one chicken breast. Now, I didn't say anything about it, but in my head I thought, that's too expensive for one chicken breast. I'm probably not going to come and buy it again.
Right.
Should I have said something or should I? Because now I'm not going to go there to buy that anymore.
Right.
Because it's too expensive.
Well,
even though it's great and I think yeah. that they make a great product. I just, that's too expensive for me to, for me with my tax bracket, to spend on one chicken breast for lunch.
I, on the other hand, right. could spend that on one chicken nugget for lunch.
I'll have 8 chicken nuggets. Oh my God.
Yes.
I can spend on one chicken nugget. I love the idea of measuring chicken differently. And
that's,
like,
that's wealth.
Anyway, should I have said, like, hey, this is really expensive. Like, I won't be able to come and continue to eat these chicken breasts for lunch if it's this expensive all the time. What should I do? What's the right thing to do?
Not get it.
Okay. Well, so
without saying
anything.
Right. Well, you know, you say to them, hey, this is pricey. This is dear. I can't afford to come in here for that. Either you're then, you know, hinting that they should give you a discount, which would be cool.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's nothing, they're like, well, we have to make money as a business. We have to survive. We have to thrive.
And I think that's totally fine.
Right.
But here's what I think of. Let's say I leave.
Yeah.
And let's say they just raised the price on that and they were iffy about it. Do they turn to themselves and say like, oh, he was fine with that price.
Right.
Mm. Isn't this hard?
Are you the bellwether for people's
like, well, basically the question really is if you are a patron of a business,
right?
Do you have a responsibility to communicate with them if you think that they're doing something where you're like, I think this is not a good choice?
Yeah, it's tough.
Isn't this hard?
Yeah, it's because it's a business that you know, it's not a national chain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's local, and you have a friendly relationship with them.
I love them.
I don't know. It's weird because the idea of kind of declaring I won't go back for this, but then it sucks. Because if it were a business that we didn't care about the people behind it, then you just leave a Yelp review or a Google review and say like, hey, the chicken was good, but it's a little pricey for me.
Yeah.
But it's tied to your name.
Yeah.
So they're going to be like, oh, we can't believe Chuck would let us down like this.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't he say it to our face? What a coward.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to be the coward.
But anyway. But if you go in there and you order something else on their menu, you know, a glass of water, because that's all you can afford, you cheapskate, and you're like, hey, did the price on the chicken change recently? It just seemed, you know, pricey. It's like, how do you bring it up without like,
I know,
without sounding like,
I think I should have said like, oh, is it always this expensive? And they would have said like, no. The other thing too is, I guess like right now there's a lot of specific food items that are very expensive.
Chicken wings in particular.
Yeah,
there's a lot of supply chain issues.
So if they were like, oh, actually right now it's just really expensive,
right?
You know, whatever. But anyway, I don't know.
So, or do we kidnap their chef and force the chef to make lemon chicken for you?
Yes, right.
Like it, you know. I'm not going to say gunpoint. That's a little violent.
No, knife point.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into these emails.
Knife points, more than one knife.
If you want to write us an email, chuckandbrad@gmail.com or go to chuckandbradpodcast.com and find the email link. And
yes.
You can write to us and we answer every email in the podcast. We're making sure we fulfill that promise now, even though it was erroneously sent to our spam filter.
Yeah, I know we had one that we just missed for like 4 weeks that was not in our spam filter.
Yeah, that happens, but we'll always get to it.
We'll get there.
We always get to it. First email. From Richard?
First email from our spam filter. Do you need Viagra?
First email from Richard. Subject line, dude. Body, I'm on vacation in Michigan and just came across this. I cannot believe you guys have your own line of dog toys. Or is it sex toys? And you never advertise it? Why? This is amazing.
Oh, no.
And he found Chubby dog toys.
Oh.
Chobee.
Okay. Not spelled the same as
that. Not spelled exactly the same, but pretty funny.
Yeah.
Chubby. So yeah. People like the name.
Should we come up with our own line of either dog toys or sex toys for dogs?
I think we should. Yeah, I think we should. Hold on. But are we going to go up against the official Chubby dog toys?
Oh, that's true. That's true. Know? All right. But then if we make sex toys for dogs, though, is it like... How could you possibly confuse the two?
Right.
One of them looks like Brad.
Right. Yeah, but it's Chobee. I spell Chubby, Chubie.
Yes, as do I.
That's how you spell it?
Yeah.
And I accept Chubee.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not Chubby, though. Don't throw two B's in there. No.
It's only one B in Brad.
Next message to our Chuck and Brad email.
Okay.
Hey, Chuck. Well, okay. This is not for this.
okay, good.
This is from a guy. So basically, I'm filming with Tell Him Steve Dave on Monday.
Yep.
And I also got asked for Tuesdays with Stories if I could film on Monday. And I said I already had plans. So this is a guy who is going to shoot with them that I'm going to edit this. So I'm kind of directing it from afar a little bit. And he's asking me for instructions.
Right.
I don't know how he found this email. Pretty
weird. We'll take it.
I don't know why.
Take the lens cap off. That's step one.
Yeah.
Make sure there's an SD card in.
All right. Simple email from Daniel T.
Good. Good guy.
Part 5 is fake Jason, not part 3 with an exclamation point.
Whoa, we made an error.
Yeah, we did make an error. Last week on the podcast, we talked about how I was like, well, I wanted to show some people from Friday the 13th movie. And I was like, well, we can't show part 1 because that's just the mom. We can't show part 2 because... Jason has no mask. And part 3, it's a fake Jason. I could have sworn the fake Jason was the one with the motorcycle gang.
But it is not the case.
But it's not, I guess.
Wow, okay.
Don't you feel like it is?
Yeah, it's weird because part 3 for me, I remember so little of the movie because of the circumstances we watched it. We were in a forest. It was raining.
It was in a raining
room. I just remember Jason burst through a window at some point and hauled somebody through.
He burst through a window in every movie.
And that's why there's no...
What I remember is a motorcycle gang with leather jackets and a barn with like hay bale.
The tunnel snakes and...
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for correcting our wrong. It was part five. And you know what? That makes sense because think about this. Here's what we didn't think. Think about this backwards. We're fucking idiots. I'm not going to say which one's a bigger idiot, me or you, but...
You're the one who watched the film, so... Wait, why are you still pointing at me?
Well, I watched four.
You watched the documentary.
No. Here's the thing. Think about this now, and you're going to really be kicking yourself.
Corey Feldman at the end of four.
No. You're going to be kicking yourself.
All right.
Part one?
Yep.
Who's the killer?
Jason's mama.
All right, part two. Why would I not want to watch part two?
No hockey mask.
So in part three...
Hockey mask.
Why would the imposter be wearing a hockey mask?
That's true.
If he never wore it before that.
All right, good point.
We're fucking...
Yeah, that was a mistake.
We're not allowed to say this word anymore.
Yep, but...
Look at the idea that you're going to be behind me.
80% of the table made a huge mistake. 20% of the table made an understandable minor error.
Yeah, minor error.
For listening to the 80%.
Yes, yes. All right, next email. Got an email from buymeacoffee.com.
All right.
Remember how Jay de la Chevrotiere wrote in and said, I want you to read my name? He bought us a coffee.
Wow.
At buymeacoffee.com. He said, wow, that was hilarious. Thanks, guys.
You nailed it. You must have pronounced it correctly.
If you want to buy us a coffee, buymeacoffee.com is just basically like, this is how you donate to creators that where, you know, let's say you're getting their podcast for free every week and they deserve a lot of money for it because they're so funny.
Oh, that'd be great.
If you go to buymeacoffee.com/Chuck and Brad, Chuck and Brad, you can just buy us a coffee and it'll just plunk some money right into our PayPal account.
Yeah.
And give us a little cashola for a kickback. And Jay, much like all of our listeners should do, bought us a coffee.
Should is the wrong word.
You know what? Let me tweet him out because that's really what you're buying is a shout out.
Thank you. Thank you so much for anyone who has bought us a coffee.
Yes.
I'm halfway through one right now. It's got three flavor shots in it and I still added a Splenda. So I'm clearly doing really well in terms of being awake at 2 p.m.
Yes.
On a Saturday.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of coffees. Jeez. I appreciate all the people that bought us a coffee. I have to pay you for the Jay coffees, but I paid you for all the recent ones that people sent in. Thank you very much, Jay. I really appreciate that. Buymeacoffee.com/Chuck and Brad. All right. The next one is spam.
Good.
Daniel D, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Subject line, new fan. Hello, Brad and Chuck. I just wanted to write in as a new listener and tell you how much I'm enjoying the content. I came over with the TESD interview episodes, as I think a lot of ants did, but I am beyond Beyond, impressed by how funny and enjoyable you two are to listen to.
Thank you.
You both also gave me a newfound love of the Fast and Furious movies. As I listened to the episodes Fast and Furious, I thought, ugh, these movies are so stupid. But after listening to you both passionately explain the movies, I found myself inspired by that passion to watch them.
Wow.
Within a week, I'd watched all 9 main movies, both short movies, Hobbs and Shaw, and also Better Luck Tomorrow.
Wow.
These movies are amazing. Anyways, I just wanted to say thanks for the entertainment, and I look forward to many more years of listening.
Wow.
Daniel D. Give it up for Daniel D. Give it up for Daniel D. He knows what it's about.
Man, that's a lot of movies to watch in 1 week.
Oh, yeah. There's another one of our listeners who posts on Instagram stories. I think his name starts with a Z.
Zane Desjardins?
Maybe. And he was watching Better Luck Tomorrow, and he said that was his favorite one out of the whole series.
That's great.
Which is interesting.
I remember when I was an RD, and I had to be on duty for the weekend, so I couldn't really leave.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely couldn't leave campus, and I pretty much just stayed in my apartment. I would have duty movie weekends.
Yeah.
And I would watch four movies on Friday, because I had to be up until 2 in the morning. I would watch 4 movies starting at 4 p.m. on Friday, watch 4 movies on Saturday, and watch 4 movies on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that was kind of how I passed the time when I had to be on call.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, but I've gotten away from that.
Yeah.
And so the idea of watching these, let's call it 11 movies ish plus 2 short films in the span of a week now seems impossible to me, even though previously that was a weekend for me.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. All right. Another email. Daniel T. Now this is a guy, he's the one who corrected us in the Friday the 13th thing. By the way, we have a ton of Daniel emails. I don't know why.
I post on Reddit/r/Daniel.
Yes, right. He wrote, "The dream is over." That was his subject line. And he concluded an article that's an interview with Ludacris.
Yes.
Who Ludacris said that Fast and Furious should not cross over with Jurassic Park. It's a little bit too far.
You know, agree to disagree, Luda.
Well, you know, Daniel T, I don't know what to think. Should they cross over?
No.
It's weird because I would be so excited to see it. There's some sort of perverse excitement. I'll put it this way. Like, if you saw, let's see, who's a gross celebrity? If you saw that Judge Judy's sex tape leaked, that's not something that you're hoping to happen.
No.
But there is a perverse excitement tied to it.
I will say this.
Judge Judy.
Half of this table would be excited to watch it.
Do you want
to
know who the other half is?
Brad.
You're going to be bummed. Lassie.
My face is still disturbed.
By the way, the original Lassie.
Yes, yeah. I know.
1936. Birthday. But you know what I mean? There's a perverse excitement that you'd say, I want to see Lassie make love to Judge Judy.
I don't think there is a part of me would say.
Okay, all right. Perverse excitement. Let me think about this. But you know what I'm talking about. How like there's some things where you're like, this isn't good, but wow, I got to see that. Well, you watch fails every week.
Yeah.
So if someone said to you, hey, Brad, you want me to fall down the stairs? You'd say no.
Right.
They fall down the stairs and they film it. Do you want to see it?
Oh, yeah.
Perverse excitement.
Okay.
You're sick.
That's better than...
You're way worse than Judge... See, I want to see people in love and you want to see people getting hurt. Which one of us...
Wait a minute. You don't want to see people in love. You want to see person in love and dog that can't consent.
So in this, you agree that Judge Judy's in love with Lassie?
Well, why else?
Yeah, why else? All right. Another Daniel wrote in. Different Daniel. Daniel D. Last time was Daniel T. Before that was Daniel. It was a different Daniel D.
Wow.
This is Daniel Da. Wait, no. Daniel D. D-E. All right, ready? Yes. I never know if I can give their last name. But anyway. Yes. Subject, Willy's Wonderland. Willy's Wonderland. Hey, Brad and Chuck. It is after the July 4th, so I was told I'm allowed to start preparing for Halloween. Agreed. With that being the case, I found a Nick Cage horror film on Hulu called Willy's Wonderland. It sounds like it would be up your alley on a corny slasher flick. Have you seen it? Here's the IMDb. Thank you for all the Halloween content. My fiance and I are going to watch all the Halloween movies this year due to your influence. Hell yeah, we're going to watch all the Halloween movies this year.
What?
And do a big episode about it with B. Lau, where we tell him the whole story of the franchise.
Awesome.
So that's perfect. Have a great week, loyal Chubby Dan. Dan, I watched Willy's Wonderland.
I did not.
I thought it was a fun Saturday night, me and Gina chill out and watch.
Right.
And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it in that way. And I think that it's a great movie probably for like the Halloween season. If you're just like, oh, let's have a few friends over. You could definitely have people over and kind of talk and be social and still enjoy Willy's Wonderland. Right. That's kind of how I think about it.
Atmospheric and yeah.
Yeah. All right. From Trent. Subject line, stand-up tips and Air Bud spinoff. Hey, Chuck and Brad. Hope things are well. Now that things with the world are slowly starting to open and things like open mics and comedy are happening, I was looking for some tips on a new stand-up comedian. I have several joke ideas and bits, but I feel as though I'm mainly struggling on how to build them into a type five. Or what are some insider tips with stand-up that I'm not considering? Thanks as always for the free pods. P.S. I have a movie idea that I think is kind of interesting. I would love to hear y'all's input. So the same similar premise of Air Bud, a golden retriever that plays sports, but instead it's a movie about a greyhound who works at McDonald's because the fast food industry is so short-staffed. Thanks.
I mean, what's your...
Well, Brad...
What's the greyhound's journey?
Of course, according to Brad, a dog can't consent to a job. So I think a dog can do a job. That's all I'm saying. Type of job.
I mean, yes.
What?
Dogs do jobs.
Trent, so, you know, if you know our history with live comedy, Brad's been doing improv for 1,000 years.
That's correct.
And we both started doing stand-up years ago, and that's kind of right when I started doing film work really seriously, and I got pulled way more towards film work. So yeah. Brad and I have written a bunch of stand-up together, but I actually haven't gone up that much. Brad hasn't gone up that much. Yeah. And then we started kind of transitioning to our two-man comedy shows, Chuck and Brad shows, that we do here and there. So we don't have a ton of stand-up experience, but I would say from doing the shows we've done and doing other types of comedy shows and being so close to stand-up comedians and working with them, I think if you're kind of a new stand-up comedian, I think that the goal really should be just to get up constantly
yep.
and go do it. So go to open mics, you know, go to whatever bringers you have to go to and do the bits you have and just kind of whittle them.
Right.
Say, here are the, here are, like, let's say you have 25 jokes. Do everything, you know, figure out what can work, figure out what can be improved, figure out what needs to be dropped, but just do it all the time. And it's almost like I feel like people's reaction when you get on stage is going to kind of guide you to A, what your strengths are, B, what needs to be improved, and C, what you should focus on.
Right.
What do you think?
I think a huge hurdle for me when even before we started was just starting, like just the idea of, all right, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write my bit, fine. But then what do I do with it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Chucky and I write, I don't know if I'm giving away trade secrets here, but we, you know, it's in Google Docs, and then a line that's supposed to get a reaction, whether it's a punchline or applause or whatever, we change the text to red. Yeah. And then visually you can look at your set
yeah.
and know like, oh, I need more red here. There's a lot of black between reds or whatever.
A lot. Basically it turns into a lot of setup or a lot of explanation before the punchline.
And you want to make sure, you know, even if you're like, all right, well, this story about the time I stole a forklift, like, requires some backstory. What small jokes can I pepper in about my Grand Theft forklift?
Yep.
Leading up to the actual punchline, which is, of course, that you're a ghost. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. right.
And so, you know, I think part of it was that. And then the idea of just going to an open mic, because I think we went to a couple shows before we went to any open mics.
Yeah, we did.
And then went to an open mic, and I was super nervous. It was the one in New Bedford. Yeah. I think, did you do one before me?
Something happened where one of us got sick on the day that we were supposed to do it. I don't know if it was me or you.
I think you did one before I did one.
Yeah, maybe.
And then, so we did some open mics and then, some bringers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I enjoy doing it. I miss doing it. It's tough because I'm such a, from an improv mindset where I'm like, all right, well, that show is done. Let's focus on whatever's next. Whereas with stand-up, you're honing your craft. You're taking those words. And, you know, sometimes adding a word or subtracting just a single word or a single syllable or rephrasing the order of your words can make such a huge difference in how a joke lands. And, you know, sometimes it needs to be changed for a different audience. I think about the bar show we did where you got to make fun of the guy and said he was like Billy Bob in Varsity Blues. And I ignored the crowd. I just plowed ahead with my G-rated comedy.
Yeah.
And I bombed. And you didn't bomb because you, at the very least, you had your crowd comment.
Yeah.
To hang your hat on.
Yeah.
So, I think a lot of it is just through repetition, but ultimately just get up there as much as you can. And, you know, if you're like, no, I believe in this bit, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, keep trying to hone it, but don't be so attached to the words that you've written that they have to stay the same for every show.
Yes.
But really just go do it, get out there, do some open mics. And you know, I would also say, don't expect to be like plucked out of obscurity. Like Adam Sandler is going to be at this bar show and going to be like, you know who I like this? I like this guy.
Now that could happen. Believe in yourself, Trent.
Yeah, it could happen. Just don't expect it to happen.
That might happen.
It's that. And then the Greyhound getting a job at McDonald's, you know, it's tough because by the time it comes out, is there still going to be a down slump in the job market?
No, because Air Bud was written at a time where, you know, the NFL had looser rules. I don't know.
The first Air Bud was basketball, by the way.
The hard thing is, can he work at McDonald's with no thumbs? It seems like a lot of burger peeling and a lot of cheese flipping.
Is he wearing a hairnet over his entire body?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
You know, or is he taking orders like he's on the drive-thru? And so, you know, he hears the word for cheeseburger and he presses the button on the on the thing, on the screen. So, you know, is he just taking orders? What's he doing at McDonald's?
Yeah.
What's the story? Is he competing with somebody for a promotion?
Yes.
How does the community handle this?
Right.
A lot of questions about a Greyhound.
You know,
is he spending all his money on Chubby's toys?
Right. There you go.
Does he have a Chubby habit?
Right. All right. Ready?
Yes, of course.
Matt Bonta. This is the email that made us realize we were missing some.
Yes.
So all the emails we've read so far were just legitimate new emails. Well, now we're going to get back into the ones that were
the old ones.
Yeah. from Matt Bonta. A message, potential duplicate email. Hey guys, I'm sending two emails with the same content. I've sent an email or two before, but it's always been through your website, but I don't think you've gotten them, so I'm trying both ways. Thank you, Matt Bonta, for helping us find out that we've been missing a bunch.
And eventually that family will forgive you.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to add to the conversation about saying that's what she said, because you said that was one of your peeves, is people saying that.
People over-relying on it, yes.
I used to say, and I took this from a friend, awkward to finish that, to finish to some, sorry. I used to say, and I took this from a friend, awkward to something that someone would say as a little finish. I thought it was hilarious because of the scenarios that go through everyone's head who is present to make that last statement to be awkward. Like someone's cherished memory suddenly becomes something sordid and dark and everyone has to do a double take. Then another point in my life, I used to punctuate.
It's raining. Oh, it's raining. That's the sound you hear.
I was like, what the hell is that sound? And then another point in my life, I used to punctuate what I've said or others have said with famous last words, once again creating these scenarios. I think this one was more funny than the last one. I had fun with those when I used to say that maybe you guys or others can too. Thanks. Don't get too frustrated. Talk to you guys later. Thanks for the pods, Matt Bonta. Frustrated being another one of Brad's pet peeves that people say, or someone specifically
said.
Yeah,
it's a former boss.
That's kind of funny. I think the idea of saying awkward or famous last words after something that is not that is funny.
Yeah, I think peppering it in is fine.
Yeah.
But you can't survive on pepper alone.
Yeah. You need a little steak with that sizzle, Matt Bonta. Come on, come up with your own stuff. All right.
It's weird because I think I would be super frustrated if somebody kept saying awkward around me. But I think famous last words is funny.
It's funnier, yeah.
The idea of I'm just going to get a small coffee. And you're like, famous last words.
Yeah. That's funny. All right. Right in from Lou Perella, consistent guest on our podcast, a good friend of ours. He wrote Fast Saga. So I just finished binging your entire coverage of the Fast Saga, both parts of the franchise flashbacks, and your reaction to F9.
Wow.
I figured I'd just have some noise in the background while I did some other things, but your unbridled childlike enthusiasm for the franchise pulled me in like it usually does when this saga comes up in conversation. And yes, Chubies, it comes up often. My question is, do you think John Cena will be written out of the last installments due to recent Taiwan comments, or do the Toretto's truly do not turn their back on family? Follow-up. Do you think you could physically restrain yourself if the Interrupters family started playing at the end of the final movie? Love and miss you guys. Lou Perella, your greatest guest. Well, I'll say this. I think Cena's probably going to join the franchise. In my head, The Rock joined the franchise for 5, 6, and 7. And throughout that time, Vin Diesel and The Rock like butted heads.
Yeah.
And so The Rock went off on his own thing. And I almost feel like Cena's now in to kind of take over the extra role of another new big guy.
Right.
What do you think?
That makes sense.
That's what I assume.
It's weird. You know, will The Rock show up at some point in the two-part finale? Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that'll work. You know, can The Rock and John Cena work together on screen?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
They've certainly worked together off screen.
Right.
Or on a different screen, I guess. And, you know, I'd be pretty hyped. It's weird. I was thinking about what songs, like the Interrupters, you know, we love them as a band. And so the idea of them being a part of this franchise would be amazing. But, you know, let's stay away from We Are Family.
That would be great.
That's not appropriate. Yeah, it's sisters. That's the problem. I got all my siblings. That, you know, when they do the all-female spinoff, do that one. That's fine.
I think we should make, when Fast and Furious, the final one, comes out, I should make an ultimate trailer supercut with that song of all the best moments in the Fast and Furious franchise.
I think you should.
That would be pretty amazing.
That seems like a great use of time.
Can I tell you a sketch I came up with?
Please.
Because I'm driving back and forth to New York and New Jersey all the time.
So there's this Greyhound, right?
Yep. And I just can't stop myself from coming up with ideas. I just drive and I think. Here was one of my ideas. What if I was like, I'm pretending I'm me, right?
Okay.
Chuck.
I get it.
And I'm like, listen, I've uncovered something that I think a lot of people need to know about. People love the new Fast and Furious movies. They love the series.
Yes, they do. They're all over it.
But there's a dark secret hiding behind it.
Oh, no.
That people don't know. Vin Diesel doesn't actually have a deep, brooding voice.
What?
His voice is digitally altered in these movies, and I found the original footage of these scenes with his voice unaltered.
It's cute.
Before they change it. And I have scenes play, and I have his voice, like the chipmunk high pitch voice.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny?
That's very funny.
I think that'd be funny.
Yeah.
Don't steal my ideas, Chubies. Well, you can steal them. I don't know if I'll have time to do it, but I'd love to do that. So I think that the Taiwan comments came and went. What did he say?
I don't know.
I thought it was kind of innocuous.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought he was like, Taiwan is a country. And someone's like,
you can't say that.
And someone's like, it's not a country. It's
part of China.
It's part of China, you piece of shit. Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that all he said?
I think so, yeah.
How is that even offensive? Because you're bad at geography? Is it offensive?
Well, it's super contentious right now because for years.
Yes.
They were overseen by like Great Britain, and then Great Britain ceded control in like 2005 or 2010.
Ceded.
C-E-D-E-D.
Yep.
Back to China.
Okay.
And China, communist, Britain, not communist. Mm. So the government changed and the people are like, no, we want to be independent. We want to rule ourselves. We don't want to be part of this communist regime.
You don't want to be part of China.
And China's like, well, we have a billion people, so we have an army that's bigger than your country. And so
China's like, we want Taiwan.
Right.
Why? Why do they want them? I don't want them. Like, in terms of like, I'll put it this way. Let's say they're like, Ray is going to be part of the Chuck and Brad podcast. And I'm like, all right. And then Ray's like, I don't want to be part of the podcast. I'd be like, get the fuck out of here, you piece of shit.
Yeah, but look at all the taxes you're getting from having Ray around.
That guy doesn't pay taxes. You can tell by looking at him.
I think it's the idea of you don't want to give up control. Then what if I want to leave the Chuck and Brad podcast?
Yes.
And I'm like, well, Ray left, so why can't I leave just as easily?
Because I've got an army that's bigger than you.
Oh,
it's
no.
Yes. It's just me.
Yes.
All right. Whatever. So he called Taiwan a country.
I think that's it.
His comments obviously were not political. They were just geographically
right.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Then he apologized in Taiwanese. I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So I think that that's come and gone.
Yeah.
We can't even keep up with all the cancellations going on.
We cannot.
So they won't turn their back. Interrupter's family at the end of it.
Mm.
I gotta be honest, I don't love that song.
Right.
I love The Interrupters, one of my favorite bands. But that song is kind of kooky. Although, maybe Lou's right though. It's so kooky that it would be so out of character for Fast and Furious that it would be fun. No, I don't think I could physically restrain myself.
If there's like a Cuban salsa cover.
Yes.
Then that fits in with their motif.
That would be amazing. With Vin Diesel singing?
Yeah, well, high-pitched Vin Diesel singing.
That's hilarious. All right, next email from Daniel T. Now, this is one of the previous three Daniels.
Okay.
He said, I won't turn this into an everything wrong with email. I am an unabashed fan of the Fast and Furious series. I wholly support its transition into a more lowbrow, ridiculous Mission Impossible. I fucking loved the magnets in F9, even though the way they worked couldn't be explained with bizarro world physics. Going to space in a Fiero, it's like they targeted the script to me. I desperately wanted a Fiero when I was in high school. It was still in production then. But I found in these last two movies, F9 especially, glaring story problems that stood out in a way that problems in the previous movies didn't. For example, in F9, Dom and the crew kill several soldiers who weren't doing anything wrong. In F8, they at least had a throwaway line about how the Russian subbase had been taken over by a terrorist group of military separatists. In F9, it was just guys doing their job. The increasingly insane action pieces and general likability of the cast have helped me get past these issues, and I do like these movies, but I'm starting to get a little concerned about a Rise of Skywalker plunge for the two wrap-up movies. Well, as concerned as I can get over a piece of mindless entertainment, which isn't really all that much. Actually, my least favorite thing about F9 was possibly killing off Mr. Nobody. Kurt Russell owned every scene he was in the previous movies. Brad, like you, I thought they said Ares and not Ares, A-R-E-S.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the movie, there is a graphic and a giant truck, I think, that says A-R-I-E-S.
Wow.
Chuck, some words I have never liked are tourney, meds, and nugs. I've never heard anyone else use wakey, wakey, eggs, and bakey in real life, but I would never speak to them again, Daniel T. I also don't like tourney. I don't like meds, and I don't like
tourney
nugs.
Like tournament?
Yeah, I think
Ooh, I think I'm okay with that.
I don't like that. I don't like meds, and I don't like nugs.
You know what? I'm fine with meds. Hate nugs.
Don't you find that to be a little bit like hypocritical.
Yes.
Like you're okay with meds but not nugs.
You know.
What if someone's like, all right, Brad.
I'll say this. I wasn't okay with meds until I worked at Walgreens for 4 years. Then I was fine with meds because I heard it so often and it was so commonplace.
Do you feel like medication needs to be shortened and nuggets don't?
Yes. I don't know. I also think the type of people who use the phrase meds and the type of people who use the phrase nugs are different people.
What if, okay, you have a landlord.
Yep, I sure
Let's call him Francesca.
Okay.
Right? I forget his name.
Fernando is his name.
It's Brad. I need to have a ride today. It's only going to take you 20 minutes to give me this ride.
Okay.
And you say, what do you need? Say that.
What do you need?
I need to go pick up my meds and I need to pick up some nugs. What do you say? You're like, half of that's okay.
I say, well, you raised my rent this week, so.
How much did you raise your rent by?
$100.
All right.
12%.
You're doing good.
Yeah, I'm fine. Of course I help them out because I'm a caring person, but I don't like it.
you like half of it.
Yeah. I'm okay with half of it.
He's like, I'm on my way to attorney. I need some meds. I need some nugs.
I'm okay with two-thirds of it.
Wakey, wakey.
Now I'm okay with a very small percentage of it. First of all, why is he waking me up?
You overslept and he has to get his meds and his nugs.
At the tourney.
Yeah.
How did he get in my apartment?
Yes, what do you mean? He's your landlord.
He doesn't have a key.
Really?
Really.
Wow. Well, he uses his credit card.
That's fine. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to be one of those people. I think I'm okay with some abbreviations.
What about wakey wakey hands off snakey?
What does that mean? Like stop jacking off in your sleep? No one says that.
Did you ever watch My Name is Earl?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's hands off snakey?
In My Name is Earl, the television program starring Jason Lee and Ethan Suplee.
I know who's in it.
And Jamie Presley. Oh. The wakey wakey blank 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 was a running bit that one brother would say to the other. Mm. And that's where, you know, hands off snakey. But
I think that's funny.
Yeah.
Hands off snakey is weird. Yeah. Ah, man, I don't want to be a person who doesn't like abbreviations. Are there other abbreviations I don't like?
Probably.
Oh, pass me the mic. I don't have a problem with mic.
Right.
Why are we saying that's okay? Is it the fact that it's so long? Are we like, if it's too long, it's okay. But if it's too short, then it's not okay.
It's weird because there are definitely words that probably 60% you, 40% me say, and you abbreviate them unnecessarily.
On purpose to be funny.
On purpose to be funny, and we love it. We can't get enough. If you're like, oh, I bought Gina some flowers, I'm like, oh, the old flow by, huh? Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's delightfully stupid.
Yes, I agree.
But nugs, I think it's
those are nuggets, chicken nuggets, right?
Yeah, the subculture that went along with people asking for nugs at Wendy's is a subculture that I don't, I'm not a part of.
I don't like this.
I'm not a part of.
This doesn't sound... This doesn't sound
I'm nuggist.
What if I was like, hand me the dono, and that's a donut, doorknob. Do you like that?
Well, first of all, I thought it was a donut. I was very delighted for a moment. Hand you the doorknob.
I don't know. We're building a room. I think I don't want to. I wonder about, because Mike, I'm fine with.
Yep.
I think maybe it's one of those. See, here's what I think about language sometimes.
I'll say this. Also at Walgreens, prescriptions became scripts.
Yeah, that's normal too. That's okay.
Okay.
Here's what I think. I don't want to be one of those people that's like, nope, words have to be this.
Yeah.
But then if someone says it enough, then I'm fine with it being the other thing because it's stupid.
I'll say for the first year that sweet was popular, I just didn't say it.
What is it? What'd you say?
I still said cool.
Oh, I thought you meant like a dorm room.
No. Sorry. S-W-E-E-T. Although I was in college and that's, you know, like the guys next door, two doors down would be like, hey, sweet game of Mario Kart. And I'd be like, yeah, it was a really cool game. Something like that.
You were trying to correct them?
Yeah, a little bit.
What a dickhead.
You know what? These guys deserved correcting. They would go on like, they'd go away for the weekend to like a speech tournament and they would set their alarm for like 5 a.m., stereo full blast, Queens, I Want to Ride My Bicycle.
Yes.
Like intentionally to wake up the floor, to be jerks.
I don't like that.
Yeah, so really, who's cool and who's sweet.
I like sweet. I like weak and sweet. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's tough.
And all the basketball ones.
Yeah, all the basketball ones. P.S. from Daniel T. He had a follow-up email.
Okay.
Forgot something. After watching Vinny Bennett in F9, I am all for a Young Dom TV series. I thought the guy who played Young Dom was great. I thought it was his kid. Is that Vinny Bennett?
I have no idea.
I thought it was. I hope it is. All right, let's see. Next one. Scott Armitage. Armitage Shanks is a Green Day song.
Yes, it is.
All right. This guy, subject line, follow up to my video game play time. He sent us a screenshot where he showed us how much game time he had, and it was something like disgusting.
Right.
Some insane amount of video game playing that he's done over a short amount of time.
Well, we didn't know what amount of time.
Okay, so he's going to tell us the amount of time.
Yes.
Follow up to my video game play time. Dear Chuck and Brad, just wanted to clear up some things from my last email. My 311.25 days of play time across those five games is from over something like 15 years.
Yeah.
I think that breaks down to a little over an hour a day, but I certainly play more than that and have absolutely wasted full years of my life gaming. Between 2011 and 2016, I wasn't working or going to school, so I spent an obscene amount of time playing games.
Oh, yeah.
I also own a Gary's Mod server, which is why I have so many hours in that. Sadly, there were no piss diapers, but man, did that make me laugh. Oh. Scott, the no-life chubby. That's right. I was asking if when you gamed that much, if you had to wear piss diapers or shit diapers.
That is a thing you said.
I realized how redundant.
Yes.
Piss diapers is... I don't know why that is so funny. You know what? Some words always strike me as disgusting, and piss is one of them.
Okay.
Do you ever say I have to piss? I never would say it.
Like, unless I'm trying to be vulgar.
Yeah. You know what else I'll say? And this gets into X-rated territory. I don't like when people say fuck. Really? I don't like when someone's like, oh, I fucked that guy.
Oh,
I fucked that girl.
No, get out.
I've never used that ever. Ever.
But,
did you fuck that girl? It sounds disgusting to me.
But like, you know, if you're
in the heat of the moment.
No, if you drop a bowling ball on your foot.
No, you.
What are you yelling out?
Oh, I'll drop a fuck. Yeah. I'll say like,
right, but not
that guy fucked me over.
Right,
fuck, I dropped the bowl. This fucking goddamn bowl, and like stuff like that. Yeah. But like, I hear people use in conversation like, oh, did he fuck her? I hate that.
Yeah,
I don't know who's asking that so earnestly. I don't know.
We had friends who went to Italy on their honeymoon.
Yeah.
And they were too bloated. They ate too much. They were too bloated.
To fuck.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And it's a... Yeah.
I just don't like fuck. I don't care if it's girl fucks guy fucks girl, we fucked. I cannot use fuck to mean we had sex.
Yeah, you say banged or it's past tense.
Yeah.
Bung.
Yeah, banged is funny. Or made love. I like made love. Especially when it's not appropriate. And
like Judge Judy and Lassie.
Lassie, fuck Judge Judy.
No.
I would say, did Lassie make love to Judge Judy? You know what I mean?
Well, they were in love.
It's me and Brad in front of a laptop, and Brad goes, is Lassie gonna fuck Judge Judy?
You're like, oh, gross.
Like, don't be gross. Get out of here. And I'm watching it. Oh, that's funny. All right, from Tony.
There's rose petals on them.
There's rose petals. How did... Oh, God.
First of all, Lassie's a girl.
You've really painted a disgusting picture here. All right, from Tony. Message. Hey, guys. Since you guys were talking about getting deleted on Facebook... Oh, this is from when someone deleted us or you deleted?
I was talking about friends...
deleting you.
Yeah.
Since you guys were talking about getting deleted on Facebook, I will tell you my own weird deletion tale.
Okay.
Years ago, I had a summer party.
Oh, it's that girl who liked all the happy birthdays except for mine.
What a Brad story.
Yep.
Years ago, I had a summer party. A friend of a friend brought his uninvited girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
She got insanely wasted and threw up all over the back door of my house.
Mm.
He deleted me on Facebook and refused to speak to me or acknowledge me ever again, even though we have tons of mutual friends and end up in the same place at the same time at least a couple times a year. I didn't even invite him to a Chuck and Brad show. Ha ha, Tony. Wow, that's fucked up.
First of all, he should come to the show and pay full price.
Yes.
Secondly, That is, it's tough. The idea of that person being so ashamed of the, you know, their paramour's behavior that they cut things off rather than face the
consequences.
And truthfully, probably not super terrible consequences in this case. Where
just
it's
the
like,
awkwardness.
Yeah.
Right.
Ugh.
Weird.
That's rough.
That's a great story, though.
Yeah.
All right. From Camille. Hi, Chuck. Just started listening to the Tesdy tape, Sunday Jeff, and I want to say thank you. Looking forward to future episodes. Have a great day, Camille. Thank you, Camille.
Thanks, Camille.
You know, the Tesdy tapes are, you know, we did a series on our podcast called the Tesdy Town History Series, where I did one-on-one interviews with Brian Johnson, Walt Flanagan, Get Him Steve Dave, Ming Chen, Mike Zapsik, and they eventually moved over to the Patreon, Tell Him Steve Dave's Patreon, as the Tesdy tapes. The first episode was Sunday Jeff. Camille, I hope they continue. It's all up to Flanagan. He's the king. He's the king of the Tell Him Steve Dave Patreon. I hope he liked it. I really didn't get any feedback from him, but a lot of people did like it, so I hope it continues. All right. Next email, Matt Bonta again. This is one of the emails that was lost in our spam folder. Hey, listen to the podcast, felt the need to write. In regards to Chuck's issue with a toy line, with toy line to toy line scaling of figures. Ah, so what he's talking about is when I talked about how when I was a kid, I hated when toys were different sizes, like a G.I. Joe and a Ninja Turtle, because I felt weird playing with them together. I also hated this as a kid, and as a lifelong toy collector, I think this is one of the reasons why I enjoy collecting Funko Pops so much.
Mm.
Every single franchise have Pops, and by and large are the same size. So now my G.I. Joes are the same size as my DC Pops, and so I can essentially can interact with somewhat proper dimensions. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. It's interesting. I mean, I don't play as much with toys anymore. I do collect once in a while. Really only the Turtles arcade figures are what I like to get because I think they're so cool. But that's interesting. If I was a kid now, maybe I would gravitate towards the Funko Pops, because then when I did do stuff with like multiple different IPs, then I could actually, you know, have them interact. All right. From Robert. Hey, Chuck and Brad, love the podcast. Jumped on after listening to the Tesdy pods.
Thanks.
Wish I knew this was known to me before, so I need to go back and listen to some of the old ones. Any recommendations I should check out or any classics? Anywho, love what you guys do. It brings me happiness during times I need to laugh. So also, Chuck, next to Walt, I love your laugh. I actually think we might have read this one, or maybe we read it before a podcast and said we got to think of some classics before.
Yep.
So I don't know if we've read this one before.
We talked about the getting started page on the website.
Okay, yeah. So if you go to our website, chuckandbradpodcast.com, right in the middle of the podcast, the website, it says new to the podcast, click here on the top of the page. And that'll give you some of the ones that we think that are good to start with. It'll give you like a top 10 and then an additional, more of Chuck and Brad's favorites, like an additional like 15. So those are good ones. And those kind of include my trip to Vulgarthon, which is when Kevin Smith had Vulgarthon in 2018 in Jersey. And I went with Tell Him Steve Dave. That was kind of the beginning of the Patreon. Our Halloween 2018 episode.
Classic.
Which is really fun with Ray. Snob versus Cobb, Jurassic World, another episode with Ray. The interview with Casey Jost. So numbers. Vulgarthon was 373.
Right.
Halloween 2018 was 386. Snob versus Cobb Jurassic World is 367. That's me and Ray arguing about Jurassic World because I love it. The story of Casey Jost, where we interview Casey Jost in the podcast, is 359. That was a great one. Paul Cuffey and the Wendy's debate, 364. That's a great one. That's one where it's just me and Brad.
Yeah.
Just having like kind of our normal discussion, and that's really fun. If you like game episodes, 293 was our Christmas games episode, which is a big one. And then some of my favorite ones are the ones where we kind of dissect movies. Now we're going to call them franchise flashback episodes.
Right.
But we did it with Friday the 13th, Child's Play, Leprechaun. Now recently we did it with Fast and Furious, of course. We're going to do it with Halloween this year. Those are always fun if you kind of look back around Halloween when we do those.
Yeah.
You know, there was a serious episode we did called Is Everyone Just Lonely All the Time? Number 253. That was a good one. There's a great episode where Brad talks about this bidet problem that he has, and it's called TESD Filming and Brad's Bidet Misadventure. It's number 378, and it was a really funny one.
I'm not a bidet person.
I wrote a story about a Thanksgiving mascot called Gibby the Thanksgiving Goblin. That was 341, and that was really fun. Chuck and Brad go speed dating. That was number 124.
That,
long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
That was a fun one. But there's a lot of good stuff. I'm going to say this. I think the Christmas and Halloween episodes are some of my favorites. And if you go to chuckandbradpodcast.com/collections, we actually have pages set up. I guess you can go to chuckandbradpodcast.com/Halloween or chuckandbradpodcast.com/Christmas. And all of our Christmas and Halloween episodes will come up, and that's really fun. I love doing the podcast, and I feel like didn't we do a really funny one recently with Ray? It was like really, really funny.
I enjoyed the Kong and Godzilla one.
Yeah, the Kong Godzilla one was great recently. I feel bad because I think Robert wrote this back in February.
Yeah.
So, I kind of imagine that he's been listening to those more recent ones. That's why I'm trying to give some old ones. But Robert, thank you very much. Super appreciate it. All right. Another one from Matthew Bonta. Oh, hey, I just wanted to add this to my previous email. I just remembered. WrestleMania. Oh, live. Okay. He wrote WrestleMania is looking to be a love show.
Oh, okay.
And he meant live show.
Yeah. Well,
this is from March, so it wasn't, right?
Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar.
WrestleMania is looking to be a live show. It's looking to be the first one as far as wrestling goes since everything thus far has been the Thunderdome. Not sure about concerts or anything like that. Again, this is from a different time period, so yeah. Sorry. Sorry that email got lost.
WWE brought back fans this past Friday on SmackDown Live.
Oh, really? Good.
And, I read the recap.
Is SummerSlam going to be...
Yes.
Live fans?
Yeah, with fans. Yeah. I think the plan is to have fans going forward.
Right, good.
Including, we're recording this on Saturday. Sunday night is the Money in the Bank pay-per-view event, and then we'll release this on Monday. So if I say tomorrow's Money in the Bank, it's actually yesterday's.
Yeah, well, we're going to release on Tuesday, I
think. All right, then 2 days ago, et cetera. So it's weird. I think about, I kind of got used to watching it in the background without fans. But like wrestling itself has become background to me. And I tried to watch AEW last week, and it's tough coming in the middle of storylines.
Yeah, of course.
Especially when I've read the recaps and I'm like, all right, when they run down to the ring, I can pick out Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and John Moxley, and everyone else kind of blurs together for me.
I love the name Luchasaurus.
Yeah. That's Kenny Omega. Great. I know him from other, wrestling promotions. Who's he talking to? Oh, Hangman Page?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. I don't know anything about Hangman. Oh, the Dark Order. All right. Who are they?
Right.
And so, wrestling has been such a background thing for me recently, especially WWE, because I feel like, we've seen enough that we know what's going to happen. They're like, this guy's barred from the building tonight. We're like, well... He's going to interfere.
Right.
Some match. So, I still like to have it on every once in a while.
Hell yeah. All right. From Mike. Hey guys, I'm sure you've watched all the Ernest movies. Have you ever watched them in order and covered them on the show?
Oh, no.
I feel like it'd be cool to hear your take on them. Mike, the king of Catskills. Mike, you just came up with a fucking idea, buddy. I think we should do it. I mean, Ray is the king of Ernest.
I think we should have blocked Mike's email.
Would you do it?
I would, of course, do it.
Oh, man.
I was thinking about...
Yeah, he goes to Africa.
Yeah. I'm sure that one holds up.
Yes.
I was thinking about the scene in... I was talking to our buddy Matt Cat Food Kelly, guitarist for Senior Discount.
Yes.
About being afraid of snapping turtles when I was a kid. And I think part of it was because of the scene in Ernest Goes to Camp.
Oh, yeah.
Where they launch snapping turtles with little parachutes and they bite on the bad guy's nose or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, yesterday, I was thinking about Ernest Goes to Camp.
I always think about Ernest Goes to Camp.
I know you do. I know you do.
From Matthew Bonta. Again, this is the person who made us realize that we had these emails in the spam, so a bunch of them are from him. Over many months. This is from back in February. Hey, guys, just wanted to chime in and say, hey, how's it going? You mentioned that the PS1 had weird cases. I may be wrong, but I want to say that what you're thinking of is the Sega Saturn game cases. They had the tall and wide jewel cases that always broke. I remember all my PS1 cases, game cases and the basic CD cases that music came in. Sometimes the larger RPGs had a fatter CD case, but never tall. Again, that's just my memory of them. Also, based on your pop punk song choices, I created a YouTube playlist and use it as my background music while working on my latest script. Thanks again, guys. Keep up the good work. I opened his playlist. It's called Chuck and Brad Pop Punk Songs.
Nice.
Ah, it's all the ones we named yeah. from that best of thing.
That's great.
Wow, it's good stuff. Wow, I like that. I think there were big, tall PS1 cases.
I thought so, too.
PS1, let's see, PlayStation.
It's weird because if you were like, well, which ones were they? I'm like, I don't know.
I think Extreme Games was one of them. But, man, it's hard to...
Extreme Games need an extreme case.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see.
I remember Sega Saturn being in the tall, apparently fragile case. I didn't have a Saturn, but I definitely...
Yeah, I almost thought that there was like some kind of like thumb indents or something. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'll have to look at this up because I thought that. Let's see. Hold on. Oh yeah, I found him.
Okay.
I'm at gaming.ebombsworld.com/articles/ a look back at the different classic PlayStation 1 game case designs. It says that if you had the PlayStation 1 as a kid, you're undoubtedly familiar with the long boxes. This large style of game case that Sony used during the mid-90s is something seldom used today, except in the case of some collector's edition games. Yeah, they're really big. The ones it shows are Warhawk and Wipeout.
Yeah, the website giantbomb.com has an article that says a total of 104 games were released in the various versions of what have become known simply as long boxes.
Long boxes,
so 34 of those were plastic and like, you know, tall, skinny jewel cases.
Yeah, they're almost
32 of them were cardboard and 50 of them were ridged.
And they're basically like, I think they're like as big as DVD cases essentially, but they're kind of like big jewel cases.
Yeah.
They're like CD cases, but there's the size of DVDs. But yeah, it looks like Sega Saturn had identical ones because I'm looking right now and they have Sonic CD for Sega CD.
Right.
Battle Arena Toshinden for PlayStation and Sonic Jam for Sega Saturn. They all have identical tall jewel cases. The ones I'm thinking of, which I guess this game Gunship was released as, they're big and black and plastic and they have ridges all up the side where the jewel case, that little space is. But yeah, those are the ones I remember.
Okay.
But yeah, so they probably were not super popular.
No.
But they were around. All right. What else do we get? Let's see. I think we're getting to the end of this.
Oh, good.
To
where our spam filter started picking up these non-spam emails.
Let's see. Shit, it's hard to tell. All right, I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to be doing this on the podcast, so I hope no one doesn't like it. We got a question from you, Brad, that you forwarded to here that says, question to pose to your crew or at least to Chuck.
Oh, okay.
From Beth.
From Beth, yep.
Then I have one. Oh, this is from, we already read this. It's about Ray Harrington. We got another one from Matthew Bonta, actually. Hey, guys, I will absolutely snag a shirt or two as long as you don't mind if someone wears it in a movie of mine. As an independent filmmaker, it sucks being limited to the costumes actors can wear. I'm always saying plain clothes, no logos or images that may have a copyright. P.S. Regardless of all that, I'll be sure to get one either way as soon as you put one up for sale.
We're working on some collabs.
We are working on some collabs, and Matt Bonta...
Whoa! Are we okay with the word collabs?
Oh, collab! Oh, that's a different one. No, but Matt Bonta, I'm sending him a package anyway based on some other stuff.
Right.
He did a thing from buymeacoffee.com and I was like, I'm going to send you a bunch of stuff and I still have to do that. I feel bad. But let's see. I just want to make sure we're all good. I think that might be it.
Oh, that's good.
Let me see. Lou Pop. Yeah. I think we're all good. I think we did all the emails. We did all the emails that were,
whew.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I've had like two sips of coffee since we started.
It sucks because there's actually still a bunch of emails in our inbox, but I got to go through them and see why I kept them here. But most of them seem to be responded to. All right. Well, thank you everybody for writing in. You can write in at chuckandbrad@gmail.com or go to the email link at chuckandbradpodcast.com. Obviously, we will be reading these emails on the podcast.
Now we know to check the spam filter every once in a while.
Well, I kind of changed it. So when I pulled them over to the priority inbox, it said, make sure all of these go to priority inbox.
Oh, good thinking.
And I said, yes, sir. So I think we should be good.
Let me the priority inbo.
If I'm going to be completely honest with the tubes, I'm going to do it. I'm going
to
say it.
Oh, you're abbreviating tubies to tubes, huh?
Wow. Yeah, from chupacabras to tubies to tubes. I bet there's a couple emails in here that are buried that we haven't gotten to yet, but I'm going to go through this inbox. There's 93 emails right now. I think most of them are like just things I haven't archived yet.
Yeah.
Most of them are stuff that I answered. But if not, I'll make sure that we get to them. And that's it, man. I think we did it. We did an email episode, and it was about an hour long. That's pretty
great.
Good.
Yeah, if you've sent in an email in the past and didn't hear us answer it, you know, send it again.
Sure.
And you know, just know that it wasn't intentional. We appreciate our listeners. We appreciate the people interacting with us and kind of building this community. It feels really good.
Yeah, it feels great.
To have people care about what we do.
Yeah, if you want to tell your friends, share it on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Leave us a review on iTunes. I think we got a new review, actually.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. I always forget to check these. Nothing.
Didn't like the way they talked about Judge Judy and Lassie. Lassie is played by a girl dog.
I wish there was a way that it could alert us when we had new reviews. Yeah. There used to be something that did alert us. And the thing is that I realized from it is we can't see iTunes comments if they're not from the US.
Oh.
Do you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. And so we used to get this email from Podkite, and it would be like, here's all your latest reviews.
Oh yeah, we would, you know.
And then I'd see some and I'd go to iTunes and I'm like, oh, why is this not here?
We were like the number 13 comedy podcast in Transylvania or some nonsense.
Yeah.
It's our vampire episode.
Yeah, but the thing is,
we also hate garlic.
No, I was going to say, but the thing is, now we don't get those anymore, so we can't see reviews from other countries anymore. Yeah. But we used to see them all the time. So, we have two, let's see, let me see. Rankings in two countries. Oh, it's not telling me. I don't know why.
Oh.
But it says, oh yeah, latest reviews. I could still look it up. Mostly U.S. Oh, I didn't see this one, because it's from the U.K.
Ah, okay.
This podcast is great. My husband and I love listening in the car on the way to work each day.
Ah.
There really is something for everyone, and Chuck and Brad sound like genuinely great guys.
Nope. Half right on that one.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, that's it.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you all again. We appreciate it. That's all I've got.
That's all I've got.
Deuces. I'll kill you!